Lisa can't join us today. So it's just me. So I know I gave final approval to Charles, to Dolores, regarding abstracts. Elisa still has to give me a final draft. And who are the other two? Dustin, you still have to give me, or did I approve your draft?
The other one more edit. Right. We give you some more edits.
Okay, so waiting for your final draft, and then who's the other person?
Me, I still need to give you a final draft.
Okay, so are you working on my edits? Okay, great. If you guys, Justin and Karen, could get that to me sooner rather than later, that would be great. Because we're going to be starting the real coding process soon, and I just want the abstracts clarified before we start that process. Thank you. But the two that I have so far look really good, and I feel confident that at least those two are going to be accepted. Now, do I know that? No. I'm not a member of the review committee, but based on past experience with APA and how they work, these two abstracts that I approved appear to be at that quality that would probably necessitate acceptance. So, of course, could be wrong. But I'm at 1,000, so that's a pretty good record. Better than Ted Williams. So I'm anxious to see the other three come in. And so the themes looked good. I think that we're ready to start. I just want to go to the calendar too, you guys. So unless there are strong objections, I want to go until the 20th of December. Okay? So that means, not including today, we have three more meetings before the winter break, and then we'll resume on the 17th. So you'll get the 27th off, the 3rd off, and the 10th off. All right, so actually from the 20th to the 17th is 4 weeks. So you'll have 4 weeks break with no assignments or anything. Okay, I think there'll be no assignments. We'll see. If there is an assignment, it won't be more than 1 week's work. It won't be like 3 weeks worth of work. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, that means after today we have 3 weeks to really start digging our teeth into the real sample. Now, so next Wednesday will be the 6th, and then the 13th, and then the 20th. So we've got those three labs. What I'll do is, I don't think I'll assign anything for next week, so you'll get a break this week. But starting next week, we will be coding. I think what I want to do today is we're going to review what you did today. And then next week, we're actually going to break up into our groups with the four leaders leading their groups and talking about how we want to approach this. Everybody has the Dropbox folders with all the stories. Everybody has that? Okay. Because that's where we're going to draw from to code. I don't remember whether we're using Karen's or Charles's Dropbox folders. I think Charles, yours was in Word, which makes it copyable into new documents, right?
There's no like information loss, actually.
No information loss, that's good. We don't want information loss.
I just like added it using the real PDF, the publication, not the scan.
Okay.
And separate them into different files.
All right, great. So, and I think I sent your folders out. Yeah, through email. So everybody has that. And so that's what we're going to be using to start out with. So next week, we'll break up into groups and we'll talk about how to do this and so forth and so on. And I'll go from group to group and talk to each one of the groups. Any questions about that?
So are we still going to be in person for the 13th and 14th?
Yes.
But I think our winter break like officially starts around 14th or something, like 14th or 13th is the last week, as for like the college.
Right. Well, can we meet on the 20th?
I will not be here.
You won't be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll cancel the 20th, but that means you'll have an assignment for next week. I was trying to be nice. So what we'll do is I will email you all either tonight or tomorrow with your assignments for next week. So what we'll do is in each of your groups, does everybody know what group you're in?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows? I don't know. I don't think we do. We didn't do that. So, all right. So, Elisa is an overeater group, and Justin is an overeater group, right?
Yes.
And Karen is sex addicts group,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Charles is a sex addicts group, is that right? Okay, so, given the fact we won't be here on the 20th and I really want to get started, why don't we talk about the people who, now, Elisa unfortunately isn't here, but the rest of you are. So in a few words, maybe we'll start with Charles. Tell us what your abstract is about. It's sex addicts.
So abstract is about investigating the role of spirituality in the recovery process and using the 46 narratives in this 12-step program of sex addict anonymous.
To do what? What do we want to do? We want to identify what?
The research concern is.
Well, the research concern is to identify spirituality tools that these people used to establish and maintain the recovery, right? Okay, so that's one option. And Karen, you want to tell us your essay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So mine is like about factors involved in reaching rock bottom. So I know Taylor also did reaching rock bottom, but mine's more like not focused on the recovery process like she did. It's more on like the factors leading to that rock bottom, and just like understanding that transition and similarities that are shared between these individuals.
Okay, so the folks whom we have in the essay group are obviously Karen and Charles, but we also have Rachel, Carolina, and Daniel. Rachel, Carolina, and Daniel. So, I don't want to just assign people. So if you have an interest in Karen's topic or an interest in Charles's topic, why don't you tell me now? Danny?
Are you still doing spirituality?
That's what he just said.
I missed that part.
Yeah, that was the most important part.
That was the most important part.
Yeah. And Karen is doing
the rock bottom.
Yes, doing factors related to hitting rock bottom in sex addicts. Do you have a preference?
Charles.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see what others say. Carolina?
Yeah, I'm interested in
Karen's. Okay. It has nothing to do with the fact you two are best friends, right? Well, that makes it easy because then, Rachel, you could pick either group.
I think I'm interested in
that. Okay. All right, so, Charles, your group is a group of two. Okay? This is how it panned out. Which I think is going to be a little bit more work for you guys. Maybe not. We'll see. So then the other abstracts in OA, Overeaters Anonymous, are Justin and Elisa. And I have to pull up Elisa's, but Justin, why don't you say something about yours?
So someone, Charles, are doing spirituality in the context food addiction. A little bit of a difference is I'm looking at the functioning of spirituality of a person. So effectively, why did the spiritual, like what's happening with spirituality, maybe like an intervention level, base level, of what transforms somebody or how to interact their life to help them with their addiction. We're looking at their ideas, themes, their own constructs, and hopefully find a narrative.
So that is Justin's, and the individuals related here are Dolores, Vivian, and Esther, right? Oh, yeah, and Savannah, sorry.
You're good.
I overlooked. So the four of you, right? So let me now, I have to pull up Elise's abstract and read that to you guys so that you can make an informed decision. But because you guys, there are four of you, I would like it to be two and two. So let me just. Okay, so this is the abstract of Elisa. This is not the final draft, but this is pretty close. Little is known about the causes of food addiction. Previous research has associated food addiction with elevated body image concerns and internalized weight stigma. Body image is a person's perceptions, beliefs, and feelings about their own body. During adolescence, body image is influenced by factors like self-esteem, media messages, and pressure from peers and family. Concerns about body image can lead to internalized weight stigma, which can increase body image-related shame and subsequently deteriorate psychological well-being. Additionally, shame, defined as an internalized feeling of being bad for having transgressed, is connected to eating disorder symptomatology. While research has found that food addiction is positively associated with weight-related self-stigma and shame, Few studies have looked into the specific influences behind weight-related self-stigma and shame in participants with food addictions. Furthermore, those studies have looked at childhood environment and adverse childhood experiences in relation to food addiction. Qualitative research has not looked at childhood experiences in food addiction with respect to body image and shame specifically. Therefore, this study aims to understand the specific influences behind childhood experiences of body image, weight stigma, and shame in a sample of individuals struggling with food addiction. Results and clinical implications will be discussed. So, Elisa's abstract is about weight stigma, body image, and shame. Justin's is about spirituality and the tools that people use to enter into recovery and maintain recovery. Would that be a good way of saying it? So, I'm going to go down my list here. Dolores, you have a preference?
I can go to either.
Either one?
Yeah.
Okay. Vivian? So we have two for Lisa and two non-committals. Well, the non-committals are working with Justin. All right? Okay. All right, so I'm going to read down my list. And tell me if there are any inaccuracies. Dolores will be on Justin's team. Justin will be on Justin's team. Karen will be on Karen's team. Vivian will be on Elisa's team. Savannah will be on Justin's team. Esther will be on Elisa's team. Charles will be on Charles's team. Rachel will be on Karen's team. Carolina will be on Karen's team. Daniel will be on Charles's team, and Elisa will be on Elisa's team. Is that all correct? Okay. So, for next week, and I am going to get to the themes for today, but this is really important. So we have our teams. So next week, we are going to a team will meet... in here, a team will meet my office, and maybe we'll put two teams in this room over here, because that's a big room, and maybe an opposite sides of the room. And you'll get together, and you're going to talk about repeating ideas. So for next week, I want you, depending upon whether you're OA or SA, I want you to go into the folders, and I want you to... do repeating ideas on the raw text of 10 stories, the first 10 stories. So stories 1 through 10, whether you're OA or SA makes no difference. If you're SA, obviously, it's the first stories 1 through 10 of the SAA book. If you're OA, it's stories 1 through 10 of the OA book. And remember, the first story is in two parts. So that doesn't count, it's still one story. So it's broken up, but it's still one story. So first 10 stories in OA, first 10 stories in SA. No, don't be someone who's creating repeating ideas for 20 stories. That's not what I'm saying. If you're on the SA team, one of the two SA teams, you're doing only the 10 SA stories. If you're on one of the two OA teams, you're doing only the first 10 stories of the OA team. Our OA stories. Got it? So you're reading the entire story, and you Charles has them in Word, You're going through and you're underlining, repeating ideas. Now, the important part is that you're following the research question in the abstract that your team is on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send everybody the four abstracts either tonight or tomorrow. That's why I prefer that the three of you who don't have the final approval from me work on that ASAP so that your team can have the final draft of your abstract rather than a draft that's not been approved by me. So let's work on that. As soon as I get the final drafts from Justin, Karen, and Elisa, I'll send all four out. Dolores has an abstract too, but that's for the later project that has to do with Uganda that we're gonna do next academic, or next calendar year. So we're ignoring that for now. So the four abstracts that are related to this qualitative research study, I'm gonna send those out as soon as the other three, Elisa, Justin, and Karen get final approval from me. Then, depending upon the team you're on, you're going to look for repeating ideas based on the research question that's listed in the abstract that's related to your team. That's really important that you understand that. It's okay if you don't understand it, you know, just explain it in different words or whatever. Does anyone not understand that? Speak now, hold your peace. Because we want this to be done correctly the first time around. So, you know, whatever the research question is, it should be not in bold, but it should be right up front and center in the abstract. That's what you are looking for repeating ideas. Anything related to relevant text. Right? We're looking for relevant text that you can then put into repeating ideas. Okay? So you're identifying relevant text and you're putting them into repeating ideas. Yes?
You answered it. I was going to say, are we just doing the relevant text this week, but we're in gold?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm trying to make it not so burdensome by, we're going to break it up into four. So 10, 10, 10, and 11 or 16, depending upon which group you're in. So this process is going to go into January, obviously, and probably February. I do want to leave time for Dolores' project, which will take us into the end of April, beginning of May. But that's why I want to get this going and get this out of the way. So, everybody understand that? So you're identifying relevant text according to the research question in your team's abstract, and then you're doing the whole repeating ideas thing. You start with the first relevant text in the first story, and you put that in under a repeating idea theme, or not theme, I shouldn't use that word, repeating idea title or label. Then you're going to the next relevant text, and you're either putting that in the same repeating idea category, or you're creating a new repeating idea, and you do that all the way down to story one. Then you go to story two, and you do the same thing, story three, story four. You got it? And then when we come together next week, you're going to break up into your teams, and then you're going to talk about, you know, where you put certain relevant text, and the labels of your repeating ideas, and you're gonna hash things out. You're gonna hopefully reach a consensus among your teams. Dan,
question. So,
yeah.
When I do the relevant text for a show, like send like an email out with my relevant text to the person with the abstracts, because what I think is like a relevant text might not be what they want.
That's what the lab meetings are gonna be for, to talk about where you disagree with the other person.
Like you got the relevant text, but I go right into repeating ideas, you know, and I'm using text that might not be relevant. That's what
It might not be, but that's why it's going to be really important to look at the abstract and really focus on what the research question is, and then that should make the identification of relevant text easier. All right? Now, you might think this is going to be a lot of work. It is going to be work, but I don't think it's going to be a lot, principally because these stories are so short. This is not like the bubble hour. This is not like psychotherapy transcripts for those of you who worked with me last year. This is not that. This is not like 40-page transcripts, which we just asked my students from last year how they felt about that. This is like, these stories are like 5-6 pages each. You know, some of them are less than that. So,
why did you?
I mentioned it was traumatic. He's still recovering.
PTSD. You like the red food. I've never felt so transparent in my life.
Well, hopefully you get some treatment for that. All right, so it's not going to be that bad. And also, unlike last year, like we're not comparing people's reliabilities, right? So there's no humiliation involved. There's none of that, right? It's just you guys come to a consensus in your group. So I think it's much more protective of one's self-esteem, this type of research. Any questions about it? So my homework assignment is to send out approved abstracts. And what else? Is that it for me? And I'm also going to just remind people what teams they're on. So team membership. So people can refer back to that. Anything else that I need to think about that I mentioned? Am I good?
Yeah.
Well, you send me the repeat. Keep the relevant text. No, I guess you could send that too. So send me. That's a good question. So send me the relevant text, and then send me your repeating ideas list. All right. So I should get what 20 documents by next week.
So we should at the end have like one file for all the relevant text and one file for all the repeating.
Yes.
Okay.
For the 10. Stories. And then for the following week, you're going to do stories 11 through 20.
Yeah. And that's going to be a separate set of files?
No, you're going to add it on to the repeating ideas document from the first 10 stories. And then you're just going to keep adding and adding and adding. Okay? I mean, at some point, it's going to be like theoretical saturation, like you're not going to be adding new repeating ideas by. I would guess by story 25 or so, it's going to be pretty much the same old repeating ideas. There's not going to be anything new, but we're going to do all the stories. We're going to code them all, but I think it's going to get, you're not going to have to create new repeating ideas categories after maybe story 25. That's my guess. I'm guessing that, based on what Auerbach and Silverstein say. Question? You look like you're deep in thought.
I'm thinking too hard.
Well, go ahead. Maybe your thoughts are what other people's thoughts might be. So
I don't have anything to say.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what I mean?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. So.
So to clarify, you said you had 20 documents for submitting, right?
The whole team.
Right. So I should have each person or your story should have their own relevant text. There should only be one repeating ideas list for all of them.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And that was
but the relevant text, I guess you could copy and paste all the relevant text into one document.
Right.
Right? So you send me one document that contains all the relevant text from the first 10 stories, And then the other document is a repeating ideas document of the first 10 stories. And for subsequent coatings, subsequent weeks, you're going to be adding to this repeating ideas document, the same one, not a different one, same repeating ideas document. Relevant text, I mean, you can send me a separate relevant text document for stories 11 through 20. So every week you'll be sending me two documents.
Okay.
But one document is going to be cumulative, the other one's not. Does that make sense? Okay. The cumulative document is which document? Repeating ideas, right? The other one, the relevant text, is not going to be a cumulative document. I think that's probably the best way of doing it.
Yeah, otherwise, like, that document would be like so long.
Yeah, and it's just it's going to be giving you more work to do, so.
Maybe this is a different issue, but it's the leaders. We have consensus made. We need to send you that consensus too after our lab meetings.
No, you can hold on to it.
Okay.
Unless you have a question. And I'm going to be floating around the four teams and answering questions as they come up and really working individually with groups. I mean, the students who worked with me last year know how that works. Like, after we do the training, we break up into teams and I float around from team to team and answer questions. Remember we did that last year?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same like general idea, except the teams will not be consist only of two, except for you two. Teams will be consist of three folks instead of two last year. Okay? Any questions?
So I'm sending the relevant test relevant document to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, send them to me and copy the team leader. So for you, Daniel, send it to me and then CC Charles. And so the team leaders should have all of this information in a folder for their team, including their own, right? So they have that ready to go for next week. That make sense? All right, so we have only 2 weeks after this week. So, but I did want to get us going on coding prior to the break, because I think if we don't, you know, we'll lose momentum. So I'm glad that we have 2 weeks left to start this process. All right. So by the break, we will have finished coding the first 20 stories. So we'll be halfway, at least with repeating ideas,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So then January, what would I say, 16, 17? January 17th, is that right? Yes. We'll start up again. So that means that, well, I don't think I want to give you guys anything over the break. So, but I can't promise anything about it. Either we'll finish with repeating ideas on January 24th or January 31st. And then we'll work on themes for the early part of February and then theoretical constructs the latter part of February. So by March, before spring break, we should be done with this project. And that's what I'm seeing here. I'd be very surprised if we weren't done by March 6th at the latest. Then we can turn to Dolores' project and we can spend March and April doing that. I think that's going to go fairly quickly because these stories are extremely short and we're just assigning a rating to each of these. There are 121 stories, but it's like a paragraph. And I think once we get trained, I think we could probably, among all of us, divide into twos. So that's, what, five pairs divided by 121. That's, what, 21, 22? About 22 stories per pair. And we do it in 2 weeks, that's like 11 stories per week. That's like probably less than an hour's worth of work. So I'm not worried about that. I don't know how the training is going to go, but I think the coding, once we get trained, is going to go fine.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody understand the timetable for the rest of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have decided yet about homework over the break. I have to think about it. But let's talk about your themes for today. So I consulted with Elisa also to see how she felt about the assignment. And here's her, you can see it up there. Hi, Dr. Goodman, I was just looking them over. Overall, I think they look great. I think a few students could condense their themes a bit more or move some of the ideas from their orphan sections into pre-existing or new themes. However, most of them were great. So remember now, what's the rule of thumb with the number of themes? What's the average? Anyone remember? Okay, but how many, what's the average number of themes after you divided the... Close. It's 10 to 20 with an average of 15. Very close. So, in this assignment, how many had significantly more than 15 themes? Anybody? Karen, you did?
Well, not me. Just
what?
Like two more.
Oh, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Anything more? Anyone more than 20? Okay. So I don't know what the hell Elise is talking about. Anyone want to volunteer? Are looking at your themes?
I don't mind. I feel like I get all the feedback so much.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
Once feedback, you're welcome to.
All right. So. There we go. All right, so. So you had, let's see. You had H, which is what, 8?
They're right at 11.
You had 11?
Yeah.
Wait, 8? H would be 8, right?
Oh, the last three were not lettered right. My formatting was wrong. I have 11 themes, though.
All right, let's see. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Ah, there we go.
I think my formatting went off.
Okay, so this should be I. This is J, and this is K. All right, so that is 11. Then you had a bunch of orphan text. You had 15 orphan text. And you looked at those, and they couldn't fit? And none of them fits?
I think that they would fit. I didn't know what you'd feel about me. We only had one text or one source under those, and with our idea of having to have at least two sources and having at least two different ideas,
yeah,
under an idea or text under an idea, I didn't feel comfortable putting that in. But these were just, if I had more sample size, I could have done it with the ideas. They fit, they just didn't.
Okay. So MJ and DA, what did that stand for?
M and J was Marie. And has Darcy and Amanda.
Got it.
If they have all four, it means they had a similar idea across both.
Okay, so now,
So let's take the orphan text, cross addiction, comorbidity. You said
M and J. That would count as two separate sources. I don't know if that's what you were, you thought that maybe you needed all four sources.
I think it was more of, I needed to have both Marie and Jennifer under that idea. Because this wasn't a theme, this was an idea. Mm-hmm. And where I only had Marie, I think, I don't know what it was. Only Marie's story had that. Right.
Oh, Jennifer didn't?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh.
And so where they both didn't have that, I didn't feel comfortable using that.
Yes. So if it was only a Marie idea, not a Jennifer idea, then I understand why you wouldn't want to add it in.
But if I had I think I could definitely use all of these if I just had a bigger sample. Mm-hmm. That's why I kept them as an orphan idea for it.
Right. Got it. Yeah, because as we're adding in new sources of text, you think you might find a home.
I think so.
Got it.
Totally understand. So let's look at Jason's themes. So, negative childhood experiences contribute to addiction. Substance used as a coping mechanism. Substance use increases by environmental pressure. Positive family relationships help with recovery. What recovery feels like. Substance abuse hurts you. Spiritual resources help a person recover. Negative behaviors contributing to substance abuse. Positive recovery tools. Personality traits that lead to substance use. So perfectionism, people pleasing, and black and white thinking. And then what does addiction look like? Do those 11 themes parallel or contradict anyone else's lists? Don't all answer at once. No, come on. If you're looking at your list, is your list similar or different from Justin's?
I think mine's similar, just different titles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine's also similar, different titles. I think, like in my situation,
yeah.
I feel like I'm a grouper, and so like I tend to group things, and I'm seeing him, like he separates them, and it makes more sense that way too. I just, when I'm in the process of doing it, like I don't think about it that way, but it's good to like look at his examples.
Well, how many themes did you end up with?
I have 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you see how you could
mm-hmm.
divide up maybe 2 or 3 of your...
Yeah. With the what does addiction look like, I have it like as like our initial realizations of the problem, and it like encompasses a lot. So I can see how that could
mm-hmm.
be split up into that category.
All right. Good. So you guys tend to like what Justin did here?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? It sounds like this that I miss Shana. You know, she would fill the room. And, you don't have anything?
I have 14.
Okay.
So I think my resolution is too strong.
Well, but 15 is the average, so 14 is fine. Can you see how maybe a couple of yours, 2 or 3, might be able to be combined?
I don't know if I work that way.
Well, I'm more like you, Daniel. I tend to be more of a splitter than a lover.
I don't like smashing things together.
Right. That's like me. But I think we can all agree that, you know, Justin's looks pretty good.
But let's look at Taylor's. And we'll compare. So remember what we have here, right? What does addiction look like? Personality traits that lead to substance abuse. Positive recovery tools, negative behaviors contributing to substance use, spiritual resources help a person recover. Substance abuse hurts you. What recovery feels like, positive family relationships help with recovery. Substance use increases by environmental pressure. Substance used as a coping mechanism and negative childhood experiences contribute to addiction. And if we look at Taylor's list, remember these? She had 12 themes. Of course, this is over all 20 interviews, not just four. But she had defense mechanisms, childhood experiences, family impact on alcohol use, alcohol glamorized by society, I need it, questioning relationship with alcohol, health issues related to alcoholism, I think that was one that Justin identified, alcohol caused problems in my life, yes, comorbidity, mental health issues paired with alcoholism, I think that was an orphan text in New York, right? Seeking help after hitting rock bottom, tools to stay sober, I think Justin's was spiritual tools to stay sober, connections, community support system and recovery, and sobriety improved my life, positive experiences since being sober, sobriety made my life better. So do we see similarities? Obviously the wordings are different, but I think the core essential ideas that Justin identified and the core essential ideas that Taylor identified have a lot of conceptual overlap.
Mm-hmm.
That's my sense of the two lists. What do you think?
No, I'm just, I maintain eye contact, so I pay attention to you.
Oh, okay.
That's a, you know, if I have a question, I'll do this.
Okay, you'll raise your hand. Okay, got it. Got it. So, I mean, everybody understand this? Does it seem pretty straightforward? I mean, do you feel ready to code the real sample starting this coming week?
Yeah.
Are these too broad? I remember the last time you gave feedback saying that they're more on like the theory of construct level.
I think this is much better.
I'm trying to like cut it down more.
Yeah, I think this is much more manageable and you know, you weren't overly lumping. I didn't sense that as I was reviewing your work. Anybody else want to volunteer to show their work? Daniel, all right. Let's see. Oh, I like that black and red for the two different groups. So you had a total of 14. Well, this orphans don't count, so 13. I mean, in real life, orphans count, but not for this.
Right. Of course.
All right. Issues involving alcohol in the family household. Yes, that's right. Abusing alcohol for its benefits. I don't know if I would use the word benefits.
That's what I've seen though. It makes stuff like social lubricant. That's one of them.
Maybe for its illusory benefits.
Yeah.
How's that? Illusory. I love that word.
Yeah,
illusory benefits.
Yeah, I really like that one actually.
All right. Useful. Wait a minute. Useful methods of recovering from alcohol and drug abuse. Yes, I think Justin had a very similar theme. Health, physiological, and behavioral problems from drinking. Yep. Lack of parental support. Yes. Lack of good relationships or relationships in general. Yep. Social support. would be another way of putting that. Living a problematic and or unlivable.
Oh, I think I'm maybe missing the word there.
Is it life?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that I agree with that. Experiencing extreme negative emotions. Yep. Using the bubble hour as a tool of recovery. That might be a little bit too specific.
Yeah.
We could probably put that somewhere else in like general tools for recovery, because that's a very specific tool. Getting help from other people on the road to recovery. Yep. Activities that help with that recovery. See, I might put the bubble hour in here with number 11. Okay. So that's one area you could lump more. Other methods of recovery. Let's look at that. Having feelings of gratitude, things that help with recovery. But it's not, there's no content there.
Yeah, I probably should have went back.
All right.
Did some of that.
Ending up in a treatment system and the experience. I know, I feel like number 12 could also be folded into something else. But this things that help with recovery is not very, there's no content. I don't know what that means. Sin of omission. It's an interesting title. Not seeing a problem when it is there. Not letting others know of the problem. How about, can we relabel that denial and deception?
Self-deception.
Yeah. Denial and, well, and deception of others, right? Not letting others know of the problem, you're deceiving others. So how about deception of self and others?
Yeah.
All right. And then orphans to delete. Not necessarily delete, because we might, if I were giving you additional interviews to code, these orphans might find a home.
Yeah, well.
Never give up on orphans.
When you read the yes, of course. But when you read the book, it tells you to delete them. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I
don't remember that.
No?
No.
I think I remember like somewhere in the book it said that they were doing like theoretical constructs, but then they went back and found a theme. They were able to find a home in the construct later on. So they said never delete your, just so you could have it.
Right, yeah. I mean, they say like even at the very end of the process where you have like your theoretical constructs, there might be some content in an orphan text that could like amplify a theoretical construct. So you never delete the orphans. All right, always hold on to them tightly. You might be able to find a home. All right, so in fact, this desire to be praised, if you remember Taylor's desire to be praised, she found a home for that. I think it was Taylor. Was it Justin? Maybe it was Justin.
Which one are you searching for?
This need to be praised. Desire to be praised. Let's see. I thought I saw something like that. Or no, maybe it was.
People pleasing.
Yeah, yeah, where is that?
That'd be my bio. No. It's on personality traits.
There it is.
Yeah.
So, personality traits that lead to substance use. So you see, Daniel, Justin did find a home for people pleasing under a broader theme of personality traits that are implicated in the development of substance abuse or substance use. Does that make sense, Daniel? All right, so I'd make a few tweaks to yours, but I mean, overall, you got the right idea. But so the team leaders should be really taking notes about what I'm doing right now, because this is what you're going to be doing in your teams. You're going to be like talking with your teams about their repeating ideas, their themes, you know, asking them why they put this
here? Could an orphan text be moved over? Can we combine two themes or two repeating ideas into its own theme? These are the kinds of discussions you're going to have to lead as a team leader. Okay, so it's a big responsibility, but I have faith in the abstract folks to be able to do this starting next week. All right? You want to end 15 minutes early? All right. Mm-hmm. So see you next week, and you guys all know your assignments for next week, and you know whom to send them to, me and CC, your team leader. All right, see you next week.
Yeah.